morning. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. I appreciate you coming back after last week. I know we'll all be thankful to have Miss Teresa back next week. So I hope she's having a good time with her family, though, but we'll be thankful for her next week. So she should be back to normal teaching next week. But I appreciate last week and the time, the opportunity to be here and just kind of talk with you. These two topics, last week and this week, are both so important to us as believers, and it was just good for me to study and review, and anyway, I just appreciate being here today. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord God, we just thank you so much for today and all that you do for us. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the opportunity to come and be in your house with our fellow believers and friends, and just to open your word and study it and learn it and be challenged by it, God. And we just pray that you would just fill this place with your presence, Lord, that you would speak. God, I just pray that you would give me the words to say and that you would be glorified in what we say and do here today, and that you would be lifted up. And God, just help us to hear from you today, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the topic this week was on obedience. And it's such an important topic. You know, last week was on the responsibility to evangelize, the evangelism and the believer. But then I think obedience is kind of that next step. Once we've been saved, or once someone we've, you know, spent time with is saved and believes, then obedience is kind of the next step. It's the pattern that has to happen. And so this whole lesson, this book we've been doing, has been talking about, we've been learning about these foundations. And, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be a believer? What do we have our foundations on? And then this lesson kind of goes into living that out. You know, now what do we do with that information? How do we take that and move on? And so it's a great lesson. It's an important lesson. And I wanted to encourage you, if you haven't listened to the sermon that is listed in your workbook, it's a great lesson. And John MacArthur mentions and says a lot of really good things for us to think about. And so if you haven't, try to listen to it. You could even print it out and read it if that's easier, but it's listed in your workbook to do that. So I want to make sure you know that that's available to you. when I was kind of getting started and looking through this, I just went to the definition of obedience. And my Bible is it's a Hebrew-Greek keyword study Bible, because I just got to a point in my walk with the Lord that I just needed to know what the Lord said. I needed to know. I didn't really need to know what this person said or this person said or this person's thought. I needed to be able to know what does that word mean in the true language, you know, and spending time in the Word and in prayer, we can know that. But I need a little help. So my Bible has a Hebrew Greek dictionary in the back that I love. And I looked up and I was researching obedience in the Greek and the Hebrew. And these are just some things that it says: attentive hearkening, a hearing attentively, listening, to submit to listen, to hear. I've read that before and thought about it, but to be reminded of it was interesting to me that obedience, or to obey, relates to hearing. I mean, like, it is first hearing to obey. It is taking it in and internalizing it and listening and hearing. It's got a hearing component to it. So I just think that's interesting that obedience relates to actual listening. And so when we spend time in God's Word, when we spend time in prayer, prayer and God's Word are the key. You know, when we spend time listening to Him and hearing what He says and, you know, resting in that, you know, then we kind of understand obedience a little bit better. It goes past those do's and don'ts and the rules that sometimes we get caught up on. Once we're doing that, we're learning more about the fact that really it comes from a heart of obedience. And we talked about that in our week, that it's really, obedience stems from our love for the Lord, our heart for God, to want to please Him, yes, and to want to be a good witness for Him, but really just out of love and affection and gratitude And when you spend time in His Word and in prayer, you realize that. You grow in that. And then it becomes a little bit easier to obey. So I wanted to kind of mention that when we think about and spend time in His Word, that's kind of the beginning, just hearing and listening, and the fact that it kind of relates to that is important. As believers under the new covenant, you know, we know He mentioned this too, that the law is now written internally. We don't have to follow an external law. You know, so we have this Holy Spirit in us to be able to obey and to be able to learn and to be able to grow. And we have this power of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk righteously and to obey and to live holy lives. So we know that. We have an internal help that is our way to obedience. And so, just kind of thinking there, I wanted to hit some main things about obedience is so big, and there's so many things we could talk about. But I want to just kind of talk about some broad topics relating to it. And the first one is the call to obedience. Like last week, I don't have a handout, so we're just going to kind of flip through Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn, or if you have your phone or whatever, if you want to. We're just going to kind of go back and forth, and I was running out of bookmarks, so it might take me a while here and there to get to them. But the call to obedience, the fact that it is, we are called to obey. Let's go to, first of all, it's in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." So I love that. Even though it was an Old Testament direction, it's still the same God. You know, we still have to be mindful of what He does require of us. What is it that He's wanting? Fear, love, affection, obedience. The kind of a partner verse relates to that in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." So it's not just a matter of, well, you know, I think I kind of should obey. I kind of want to obey. It is really a commandment. We're told to obey and keep his ways and to love and serve Him. Love God, love others. And then when we love Him and delight in Him, it naturally leads to obedience. Not perfectly, not all the time, because again, we're still fleshly, but we are called to do that. Romans 12:1, most of us probably know that. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Luke 9:23. "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So, you know, I think we all know we need to obey. I think that's kind of known. We know those verses. We know those directions. We know the Lord requires obedience and desires obedience. He doesn't force it on us, but he desires it. And I think that's nothing that, I don't think that's the hard part of knowing we need to obey and we're supposed to obey. We know the call is there. It becomes more of a problem when we start thinking about, well, how am I to become more obedient? How, what does that look like in daily life? You know, how do I become more obedient? And sometimes I think this is where it's easy to get caught up in those do's and don'ts. Those lists of things, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, or say this, do that. That we get caught up in these rules, and we can maybe accidentally or indirectly develop somewhat of a legalistic mindset. You know, we can maybe start doing things just for the sake of doing them, and we might get off a little bit. But I don't think we can neglect, you know, the battle, for me at least, is, you know, how do I, prevent becoming legalistic while being mindful of the need to obey and some parameters to be in place, you know, to still be mindful of obeying. How do we do that? Because it's not about rules and regulations, but at the same time, sometimes there are things that are, you know, we have to do or don't do. And so how to keep our mind and heart in the right place. I think it starts with Him. Thinking of who He is. Thinking of His holiness. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Philippians 4, 8. Let's see here. This might be where I started losing bookmarks. Focusing on the noble things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Put your mind on those things. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if then you who were raised with Christ seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And so I think when we can kind of get past the, well, what does He say about this? Can I do this or can I not do that? When we get past that mindset and we're just thinking about Him, and who He is, and how great He is, and how holy He is, and how gracious He is, and how merciful He is, and what all He's done, and how holy He is, then our mind is focusing on things above, which then affects our bodies. It helps our flesh to do a little bit better. And so the more we spend time with Him, and in His Word, and in prayer, then the more we're going to know Him, the more we're going to love Him. And then naturally, not perfectly, that obedience becomes a little bit more natural, you know? I mean, like I said, we have the Holy Spirit in us to enable it. We already have the power. But we have to do some things. You know, we can't just sit alone. And so I think the how begins with Him. Get into His Word. Seek His Word about every single thing. I mean, you know, it's, I think we... There are clear yeses and nos. There are clear do's and don'ts. And we certainly need to obey those. We need to abide by those. But I think the trouble comes in the gray areas where some of us are kind of struggling with things. And how do we do this? And what does God want for this? You know, I think when we are seeking Him and we are spending time in His Word and in prayer, and so many of you, I was thinking about this today, this is like preaching to the choir. So many of you know these things. You know, it's spending time with Him that is what helps us know what to do. You know, all those kind of gray areas. But I think that, and we talked about this last week, but this was one of my favorite kind of verses that touched me, was Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where it talks about go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So I think the next part is we've got to have our own individual time with the Lord. I mean, minute by minute, really. And just seeking Him and spending time hearing in prayer and asking Him to direct. But we also have to be taught. We need to spend time. And that's why we come to Sunday school. I wrote down Sunday school, small group, Bible studies, any godly mentor, someone who can help us work out that salvation. What does that look like in real life? Women that you know that love the Lord and spend time in His Word and walk with Him, find one. You know, someone who's walked the path of life ahead of you. You know, I love having godly women above me who you know, have finished the teenage years, because that's where I am. You know, I can talk to some mamas of babies, but I can't tell you anything about teenagers right now. That's where I am. I need godly insight on what does that look like? How does that play out in real life? Okay, I know what you know, I know some things, but I need to know some real, like, daily things. But I need it from godly women, and I think that's how we learn to walk in obedience. That's how we learn to raise our children, or whatever stage of life it is that we're in. Having that time to be taught. Jesus told his disciples to do that, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Sometimes I think we forget about that. We give them the message of evangelism, and we give them the message of hope, like we talked about last week. But then sometimes I think we are left, or we leave those new believers to just kind of wander their way through. But Jesus, that wasn't all of his commands. He said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded to you. It even though we have the Holy Spirit, who is the power behind it all, we don't just all of a sudden become able to do it all, do we? The Holy Spirit doesn't just, you know, grant us total power to do it. Well, we do have the total power, but he says, teach them. Walk with them. Guide them. The Israelites had to learn to fear the Lord. They had to be taught the fear of the Lord. They listened to the word. You know, it's the same for us. To be able to, the need for instruction and help, godly direction. And so, you know, I think I'm so glad we're back in Sunday school. You know, I'll be so glad when Miss Teresa gets back, because she's such a devoted teacher and woman of God who spends time in his word and then just gives it to us and helps us understand it. And any small group you're in, or any, you know, time with friends centered around the word is good and helps us learn to obey and helps us learn to walk in it. The next kind of broad topic was obedience is a mark of the true believer. It just is. It is a mark of the true believer. As we grow in our love toward God, our obedience grows, because it's a matter of our heart. You know, and as our heart's growing more in him and in tune with him and his word, it shows others that we belong to him. It is a picture that we belong to the Lord. 1 John, let's go to 1 John, see if I can find it, 2:5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And then 5:2-3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I love that. It's not about the commandments, the do's and the don'ts. The things he tells us to do should not be burdensome to us when we have our hearts focused on him. You know, it's and that is a way that we are known to the world, that we are a Christian, because we are able to walk in ways more like Christ because of him, because of the Holy Spirit in us. And when we don't, does he just leave us out there to our own, you know, way? He pulls us back. He disciplines us. He chastens us. He helps us. He convicts us when we kind of get off. Bless you. I think, you know, it's like he kind of, maybe you felt that just kind of nudge, like, he's telling me to do something. I'm kind of avoiding it. Kind of like not thinking that's what I need to do. But he'll keep working. You know, and I put on here, beware of discipline. I want to change quickly if he's disciplining me. I want to notice it quickly. But sometimes I'm still stubborn. One thing that I think is important to think about, though, with the Holy Spirit is when we are walking with him, we know Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we won't go there, but Ephesians 4:30 says that we can, it's a warning to not quench the Spirit and not grieve the Spirit. And the fact that we can quench or grieve the Spirit makes me know that, you know, we can kind of go far in our sin sometimes, in our disobedience. And I think the longer we're away from His Word, how easy is it? How much easier is it when we're not in His Word daily, when we're not spending time in prayer, when we're not with other believers? How much easier is it to kind of go with the world, to go the world's ways? And, you know, I think that warning, do not quench the Spirit. You know, I want the Spirit to be totally active in my life. And there's been many times when I know I've quenched the Spirit and grieved the Spirit. But to be mindful of the fact that the Holy Spirit is there to empower us, to work with us, to direct us, to guide us, to help us in our walk. But the fact that we can quench it is a little bit scary, you know? I mean, it's still there, but the quenching of it, but it's when we're walking outside of the line a little bit. So I think God's discipline is important. Being mindful when He starts to discipline you, when you notice things that maybe that's the Lord pulling you back in. Of course, not every single thing is discipline. Not every single thing is spiritual warfare. But being mindful, that's why, you know, we can't say it enough, that being in tune with Him and staying connected to Him so that we are aware of where we are in our walk and what we're doing. I wrote blessings and curses, you know, as this little next section, because God does bless obedience. And He, in the Old Testament, He used the word curses, disobedience. And I think sometimes, you know, there's a lot of talk about do this, do this, do this, and then the Lord will do this. The Lord will make you this way, or, you know, that name it, claim it, health and wealth gospel. But that is not to be neglectful of the fact that He does bless obedience. And when we are walking in His ways and we are spending time in His Word, He blesses that. One thing about punishing disobedience, you can go to the Old Testament and see how He handled disobedience in the Old Testament. I mean, it would be like immediate. And He would handle things. You get such a good picture of His holiness and His expectations of obedience in the Old Testament, because they were not under the New Covenant. They were under the Old Covenant. But you still get a picture of God and who He is. And one thing I just started thinking about, and this is my thoughts, how much more so do you think it burdens God or hurts God or grieves the Lord when He's given us the whole power to live rightly and we don't? I mean, in the Old Testament, He would just handle them quickly if they weren't walking in His ways. But He has provided the Holy Spirit to come and indwell in us so that we can live right, so that we can be a witness. You know, we're not just to obey for the sake of obeying, but we are a light to the world. We are to be showing the world who God is, who Jesus is. And I just thought about that. Like, I wonder how sad it makes Him. When I just thought, He's probably like, well, I gave them all they need to obey, and they still disobey. But He knows we're still in our flesh, and that's all. He's in control of all that. But I just thought, being mindful of who He is, and the fact that when we do obey, when we walk in His ways, you know, we can be blessed. I think we do get accustomed sometimes to the world's ways, and we neglect God's standards today. That's why I said the Old Testament is kind of a clear picture of it. We get a really clear picture of God's holiness in the Old Testament. Not that we don't in the New Testament, but we see it clearly. And He's the same God. And so the more, like I said, we walk with the world, the easier it is to disobey. One thing I thought about, too, about obeying and how we can sometimes get so caught up in rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. You know, I started thinking, like, this might be sound a little confusing because this was what I was thinking about, but, like, sometimes I think of things today that have become lists of do's and don'ts, traditions that have maybe caused trouble for people. And is this obedience or is this not obedience or what it is? And then somebody say, well, that's just old tradition. That's not in the Word. You know, and it might not be spelled out in the Word, but I started thinking about, like, generations before, maybe who lived these ways. They lived, you know, really more black and white than we do. Sometimes we stay in that gray area. And I was just thinking, what if they, you know, these things that we sometimes blow off as tradition, that's not of God, were put in place by faithful followers of the Lord. People who walk with the Lord, people who spent time with the Lord and put parameters in place because they knew their flesh was weak. And then, of course, over time, you know, it becomes tradition. And then we become focused on the who or the what or what is happening. And then we throw it out. You know, and we get caught up in the tradition rather than, hey, it might have started off as a protection from God's people. You know, God's people being diligent with his directions. And I think that only goes back to knowing his word and spending time with him. And then he'll direct you. He'll put parameters in place. And maybe generations later they'll say, well, that's all tradition. Things that we might put in place, things that maybe are not spelled out clearly, but protections to help us walk in the Spirit today. You know, whether that, you know, that might look like, you know, we're going to go to church every Sunday. You know, we're going to be here when we have to be here. That can become, over time, you might think that becomes legalistic, but it's put in place to protect our hearts. And so, I just think of where we are today in the world sometimes, that it's easy to get pulled by the ways of the world. And sometimes we need some rules in place to help us stay in line, to walk in the Spirit, and to keep our mind focused on things above. Because, you know, I was thinking back to, like, when I think of faithful believers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, who maybe had did or didn't do certain things, these are people I think of as faithful women and men of God who knew the Lord and knew his word and walked with him, you know, and desire to obey him. And I just think that we don't want to let time and the world influence so much that we neglect, you know, sometimes we do have to set parameters so that we don't get in disobedience, so that we don't become a pattern of disobedience, you know, in our life. Hebrews 12, 5, and 11 talks about the discipline of the Lord. Let me find it here. I'm out of bookmarks. Hebrews 12, 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. And then 11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So I think, you know, it is a training. And when we kind of stray, he does bring us back in. It's not pleasant. It's painful. But what is the goal? It produces the fruit of righteousness. And we might need to put some things in place to help us stay in those boundaries. You know, we know that. Maybe we've had to separate from people. Maybe we've had to stop going places. But those are things the Lord does to help us walk in obedience. And then think of the blessings that he gives of obedience. You know, we don't obey to get things, but we get his presence. I mean, his presence, when we obey and we are walking in obedience, the presence of God is with us and clear. His faithfulness, his protection. Sometimes we get physical blessings. John 15:10, and then we're going to go to 1 John 3. But John 15 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. That's Jesus talking. Again, it's not about the doing everything he says perfectly, but it's about knowing his commandments, knowing his word, knowing his ways, knowing his heart, and then walking in them. And we get to be his friend. We get to be, we're able to abide in him and with him. He fills us with his presence. He grows that spirit within us. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. Well, that's not like, well, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do, so when I ask him for this, you know, new job, he's going to give it to me. No, it's totally opposite of that. But when we are walking with him and walking in his ways and setting our mind on things above and things of the Spirit, we can trust that he's going to answer our prayers in the right way. We're going to know the right way because we're going to be in tune with him. We can receive what we ask. We can ask the Lord in faith and know that he hears us and will grant it when we're walking in his ways. And so the blessings of obedience are big. I mean, a life of obedience is not comparable to the world's, you know, success and the world's standards and the world's maybe accolades. But I think, you know, it's like that. It's a balance. You know, we have to balance those lists, the legalistic mindset. But we do still understand obedience is good. It is right. It is rewarded. And so there is an act that we have to do. We do have to walk in it. It's not okay to just say, well, those are just rules that I'm not going to follow. I don't believe that's what he said. You know, it's not about that. We've got to kind of change our mindset. But as we're walking in him and spending time with him, we know that. Areas of obedience, too. We're going to touch on this quickly. This was in the study this week. There are some clear directions in Scripture of who's to obey whom. You know, who do we obey? I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, all you have to do is obey us. That's your only job, is to just obey your parents. And, you know, we are held responsible for you. We will direct you. We'll help you understand things. You know, now they're saved. They're Christians. They're growing in their walk. You know, and that's a whole other dilemma. That's why I need Christian mentors to help me along the way. But it's not always easy, but it's expected. Children are to obey parents. It mentioned in the work, but wives to obey and respect, submit to husbands. Bond servants to masters, or maybe workers to our employers. Christians to our leaders. Everyone to the governing authority. You know, it says, after all those, why? It pleases the Lord. In Scriptures it said, so it may go well with you, children obeying your parents, so that you might have a long life. To children obeying your parents, so they might be given an equal measure. However we obey will be given an equal measure to us. It's a good plan. He gives us a good plan. It's not easy because, again, we have these fleshly bodies that have pride and we have issues and we struggle. But he does give some clear directions on who's to obey. Who do we obey? I used to tell my kids, you know, you've seen the umbrella analogy. And like, God's the umbrella, and then underneath the umbrella is the husband, and underneath that is the wife, and then the children. And I would tell my kids, I'd say, you're getting out of that umbrella. We don't want to be out of the umbrella. And that's just not in the family, but in all of those instances. We want to be under God's covering protection. You know, we want to be submissive to him and walking in his way so that we can guarantee we're in the right spot doing the right things. And when we start straying and we get out from underneath that umbrella, it's we're putting ourselves in a little bit of danger. We're opening ourselves up for discipline. You know, but it's not going to be pleasant. You know, it's not going to be fun. And so we want to stay underneath that umbrella. of the way he's designed it. Our attitude towards obedience. Psalms 48 says, this is David speaking, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." He delighted to do his will. Like we read earlier, his commandments are not burdensome. We need to delight in the fact that, you know, he's given us a way to live. Delight in obeying him. Understanding, I think the first attitude is delighting in him, and then humility, understanding who we are and who he is. Just humbling ourselves before him and understanding that this is a holy God who we are serving and we are walking with and who is directing us and has a good, good plan when we follow it. Our ways are not better. Sometimes we think they are, that we can do better, that we can, you know, well, I can still do this and do this, but no, his ways are better. And we to develop a humble mindset to know that we can walk in humility with him. I think about walking, our obedience, our obedient lives are what the world sees, or our disobedient lives. Having that mindset of being careful about how we walk, so that they can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are to have good works. So what we do and how we live matters. That's where I said, too, go back and read the Old Testament. Be a student, number three, a learner. Be a student of the Word. The Old Testament gives a good picture of his holiness and his expectations of obedience. He's still the same God as he was then. So go there. Study it. Develop a mindset of seeking the Lord so that we know what is expected. Our attitude should be one of submissive learning. We can't just stop learning. We don't achieve it. We're never going to be perfect, but being able to just study him, know him, learn him, see who he is. He is a good God who has a good ways and good plans and has a path in place for us. But to be able to know it, takes study, takes time to learn it. Submission. Ask him to show you areas of disobedience, but be ready to make the change. You know, in prayer, ask him, Lord, is there any sin? Am I straying? What am I to do here? He'll show you. When we seek him with a humble heart of change, of wanting obedience, he will make it clear. And then it's in our court to do something about it. Our world, he's, like I was just saying, he saves us to be a witness for him. We don't, like we've heard many preachers say, we don't just get saved and go to heaven, do we? We're saved and then we live here to be a witness so that the world may come to know him, so that they might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Think about our world. Do we see a lot of glorifying God in our world? We don't. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 is where it says, you know, we are the light of the world. Where they'll see our good works, glorify our Father in heaven. We're to be living lives, the church, the believers, are to be living lives that are in obedience to God's word so that the world may see him and be saved. And sometimes that's a big task to think about. We are the witness. We are what's left. We are what is here. And our lives, like we learned last week, we do have to tell. We want to share the gospel of hope, but our lives are a witness to who we are in Christ. They're a witness to what the Lord's done for us. And if we are living like the world, it's not adding up to the world. You know, they're missing, they're not going to get the message through us, at least. We're going to be disobedient to our job as believers and how we walk. When I think about that, it is a whole plan. He gives us a whole plan. you know, he says, live like this, be the light of the world. We know what he wants us to do by saying in prayer and spending time in his word. But what does he say? Who's out there prowling around like a roaring lion? Satan. He tells us. None of it's a surprise. We are in a sin-fallen world, and it's going to be hard to live obedient lives. But he tells us to be guarded. He tells us what to do to protect ourselves and to guard our hearts, the armor of God, you know, in Ephesians, where we learn about putting on the armor of God. His word, again, tells us how to be prepared for those hard things that come, the things of the world that easily take us and entrap us. But what does he say about sin for believers? He provides a way out. You know, every time we're tempted, there is a way to withstand it through the Holy Spirit. All of this, though, is, you know, are things that take diligence in walking and spending time with the Lord. But we think of his plan, and sometimes we think, well, I can't do that, you know. His word directs us. Like, the whole thing is encompassed. We know there's going to be trouble. We know it's going to be hard. We know Satan's really trying to attack. It's going to be a battle. But he promises to be with us and to provide a way out. If we're really seeking him and walking with him, we can trust that. We don't always take it. We don't always succumb. We don't always see that way out and appreciate it and use it. Sometimes we give in because we are, our flesh, you know, is weak. But we do. We have to put on the full armor so that we can walk in protection under him. And studying that, the armor of God and what those pieces are, is needed and helpful to see what we have in Christ. It's nothing we can do ourselves. It is the power of Christ that helps us walk in obedience and helps us walk in his ways. So the last thing I wanted to say was just, you know, where are you? Where am I? That's been a question of me. Look at your life. Are there any areas of disobedience that might need to be brought into submission? Or is there a pattern of disobedience? What's going on? You know, is there something? I think we obey from the heart. That's what we are to do. But sometimes, I feel like disobedience is so deep, too, sometimes. And we've developed a pattern that just seems like, and it's like it's normal. So are there patterns? Are we slaves to sin? Or are we slaves to Christ? We know we're slaves to that which we obey, is what Scripture says. If you notice a pattern or an issue, confess, repent, make the changes that will help you align your walk with Scripture. You know, it does take actual practical measures to walk in his way sometimes. It says, you know, Romans, like we said, 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. 1 Peter, be holy as he who called you is holy. So the whole Scripture is filled with exhortations of how to walk rightly, what we are to do. We're not even covering the actual do's and the don'ts and all that. Scripture's filled with the will of God and what he desires for his people. But being mindful of living lives and focusing on things above, when we are focusing on things above, we shouldn't look like the world. We should look a little bit different, and that's not always easy. It might cost us some friendships. It might cost us some success. It might cost us some popularity. It's hard as parents to teach that to children, you know, that are being raised in this world of teenagers. You know, it's hard to be a follower of Christ sometimes because we do want success. We want affirmation from the world. But the joys, I think, that we want to end in is the joys and the blessings of obedience do far outweigh those worldly pleasures of any kind. And just being able to press on to inundate our minds with the Word of God, to spend time in prayer, to find godly friends to enjoy life with, to walk through life with, to find mentors to help us is key. I'm going to close on this. I thought about the old song, Trust and Obey, and I just wanted to read the lyrics to you because we all probably know it. You might sing it when I start reading it. But it's just what we've been talking about, this old hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows, all for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or will walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And you know, that's an old hymn that we all grew up singing, but what truth is it? Walking in His way, the blessings He bestows and the hope He gives and the presence He gives, it's something that is, what a treasure to have that option. I appreciate you sticking with me these 2 weeks. Miss Teresa will be back next week. Well, I'll be glad to have her back, but I appreciate you being such good listeners, and hope you have a good week. And let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll go. Lord, we just love You so much, God, and we thank You, Lord, that You do give us a way to walk. You show us. You direct us, and You have provided the Holy Spirit within us to enable us to walk in Your ways and to walk pleasingly with You, Lord. And when we don't, God, You're right there with loving arms to welcome us back and bring us back, God. You're not up there with a rod just beating us down, Lord. You love us so much, and you want us in Your will, and You want us in Your ways, God, and You provide that for us, Lord. We just praise You, and we thank You for that we can have the ability to do that. Lord, help us to do that, God. Help us to realize what we have in You. Give us friends, give us mentors, give us teachers, Lord, that will direct us to Your Word. Help us to do things and put parameters in place, Lord, that we might need to be diligent about seeking You and walking in Your ways and spending time with You, Lord. And God, we just pray that You would bless us for obedience, that we would be a light for your world, that others would see our lives and that they would come to know You and be saved, God, and that You would be glorified ultimately, Lord. Just prepare our hearts for the worship service, God, and be with Brother Greg as he brings the message. Lord, we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a good week. You want me to turn this off? Should I just hit stop?